Good morning. It is so wonderful to be here. If you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, appreciate that. I want you to know that our church, Calvary Vista in San Diego, California, we pray for you. And we are just so excited about what God is doing here and how he's moving in your church and really throughout the Calvary Chapels here in New Zealand. And so, but we pray regularly for you, and we have a board up right when you enter into our sanctuary, and Doug and Destiny, their family, their picture is on there, and so that our body can be praying for Calvary Shoreline or Shoreline Calvary here in, I'm going to say it wrong, Tauranga? Is that pretty close? All right. Well, I love this passage that we're going to look at. It's a familiar passage, but I'm hoping that you will maybe see it in a fresh way today. I'd like you to focus your attention to verse 5. I'm going to read verse 5 and 6. You know this passage. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Let's pray together. Father, first of all, I just thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that you have planted them here in the heart of this city to be a beacon for you. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing here. And I thank you for the privilege that you have given me today to open up your word, to teach and to share. And I pray, God, that your word would go forth in power, in clarity, and through the work of your Holy Spirit today, you would touch, that you would challenge, that you would inspire, that you would encourage, and that we could leave this place today closer to Jesus. And so we give you this time now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Back in the 1920s, there was a man who was visiting a area that he hadn't been before, and it was in the dead of winter, and it was cold, and he came upon a river, and it was frozen solid, and so he sought to cross the river, but he didn't know how thick the ice was. So he got on his hands and knees and was just gingerly, you know, crawling his way across the river. And right when he got to the middle of the river, he heard this loud roar behind him. And he looked back and he saw a man in a wagon that was being drawn by four horses. And this wagon came barreling across the ice and drove right past him there on the ice. You see, the man in the wagon was a local, and he knew how thick the ice was. He knew that it would hold the horses, that it wasn't going to break through. And I love this story because I think a lot of Christians, too many Christians, are like the man down on his hands and knees, creeping and crawling across life. Way too timid, way too cautious. But I think our God wants us to be like the man in the wagon, who have a confidence in the power and the faithfulness of our God. That we would be like that man, knowing that the ice will hold us, and knowing that our God has got us, and knowing that he can hold us through anything that this life would throw at us. You know, it's been said that your faith is only as strong as the object of your faith. And the object of our faith is Almighty God, the maker of the universe, The Bible tells us that he created the worlds, that he spoke it into existence. He's not just the creator of our universe, but he is also the sustainer of our universe. And the Bible tells us that he holds it all together by the word of his power. But he's not just our creator and our sustainer. He is also our redeemer. He's the one who saw us in our sin and in our shame, and he didn't ignore our plight. He didn't ignore our condition, but he loved us enough to do something about it, to intervene on our behalf by sending his son to come into this world and to die on that cross, to pay the price for our sins, and to rise again from the dead. And you know, we are living in this crazy world. A world that seems like it's getting, you know, just crazier by the minutes. But our God is on the throne. Amen? And today I want us to look at this passage, a passage that I know that you are all familiar with. You probably have memorized this passage, but hopefully today you'll see it in a new light. And I want us to break it down kind of line by line, and we'll start with this first admonition to trust in the Lord. The word trust in the Hebrew is the word batak. And the word translated trust in verse 5 means to lie helpless face down. It's a posture of being surrendered. It's a posture face down, lying face down, of being vulnerable. It's a posture of being dependent upon God. Now, as I read this definition of the word trust, I'm reminded of a few times back when I was in college, going out to the lake with some friends who had a boat. And they have, you know, they had one of those inner tube things, you know, that you lay on, you know, face down, and the boat pulls you. How many of you have done that before? You know, you're on the boat and it's pulling you. And that right there is a picture of trust, isn't it? You're on that inner tube and you're trusting that the guy driving the boat isn't going to get too crazy, that he's not going to get too wild. Well, I had friends that were proven to be untrustworthy. In fact, it seemed like my friends that day were thinking that they had this strategy: let's see how far we can launch Rob. So they'd get going faster and faster and faster and hit a sharp turn, and sure enough, I would go flying off the inner tube. Or worse yet, they would drive it in such a way that it would hit a wake and just launch me like 10 feet up in the air. And I'm coming up out of the water and I see my friends on the boat laughing and high-fiving one another. Like, that was amazing. We really got him high that time. My friends were proven to be untrustworthy. But you know, our God never does that. Our Lord is never, hey, let's have some fun with Rob today. Let's see how uncomfortable we can make his life. Our God and the angels are not up in heaven laughing at us when we go through our difficulties and high-fiving that they made, you know, our life uncomfortable. That's not the heart of our Heavenly Father. Now, he will allow us to go through difficulties at times in order to grow us. The Bible tells us that the trials that we go through are meant to produce a proven character within us, to grow our faith and grow our character, to make us more like Christ. But that face-down posture is a posture of humility. And that's important because the Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The Bible tells us that a broken and contrite heart God does not despise. The CSV, the Christian Standard Bible Version, puts it this way: a broken and humble heart he does not despise. What that means is when you are broken, when your heart is broken, when you're broken in your life, God is not pulling back from you. He's not despised. He's not like repulsed. He's not pulling back from you. He's drawing near. Anybody broken today? Anybody going through a broken heart or a broken time? The Lord is drawing near to you today. So to trust in the Lord is to lay face down, yielded to God. It's believing that God has a plan. It's believing that God knows what he is doing. That's the starting place of the posture of faith. That's the title of our message today, the posture of faith. It's really this call to trust in God is really the call to being a disciple. You know, there's a pastor, you might have heard of him. He might be on the airwaves here in New Zealand, but his name is Greg Laurie. Anybody heard of Greg Laurie? Great evangelist. And Greg Laurie says this, and I think he's really right on the money with this statement. He says, you know, our calling, the calling that Jesus has given us, is to go into all the world and make disciples. And Greg says, you know, every single disciple is a believer, but not every believer is a disciple. Because some people, they get saved and they believe in Jesus, but that's kind of as far as they go. A disciple is one who is trusting, who is following with all of his heart. And the Lord wants us all to become disciples. And so this posture of faith is that I'm laying face down, I'm yielded to God. And then notice the next sentence he says, with all of your heart. So it's not a partial trust. With all of your heart, it's the idea of being all in on something. When I picture this, that description of being all in with all of your heart, I picture what comes to my mind is a little child standing on the edge of the pool. And there in the pool is that child's father or grandfather. And they have their arms out. Maybe you've done this with your kids or your grandkids. And they're saying, jump, jump. I'll catch you. Now, when I have done this with my kids and my grandkids, they're saying, come closer. Come closer. You're too far. Come closer. But they're timid and they're sort of like, I don't know, you know, and you're trying to assure them, I've got you. I'm going to catch you. I did this recently, a summer ago with my grandson, Josiah, and he's on the edge of the pool. He's like, come closer, Poppy, come closer, Poppy. And it's like our fingertips are touching, like we're that close. He's like, okay. And he jumps. It's like, okay, you didn't let me go under. You got me. And the next time he lets me get a little further back, it's like our fingertips aren't touching, but we're sort of like this. But after four or five times, I'm in the middle of the pool. He's running and jumping. You know, he's this picture of just joy of like, oh, you know, because he knows that my Poppy, he's going to catch me. And suddenly, it's this experience of just joy. He's all in. And that's how the Lord wants us to be, is being all in. You know, that child doesn't know anything about gravity. Doesn't know anything about distance. All he knows is, I'm jumping into the hands of my father. I'm jumping into the hands of my grandpa. And that's the posture of faith. It's that posture that is saying, Lord, I will jump when you say jump. Lord, I will take that step of faith. Or what about this one? This might be a word from the Lord for somebody here today. Lord, I will let go of my need to control everything in my life and trust you. Or, Lord, I'll let go of my fear of needing to control everything, and I will trust him. And why do we trust him? Because he's a good, good father who chose to give us his beloved son in order to bring us into his family. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that he would call us his children." And the word "behold," it means look and be amazed. Be awestruck that God would say, "This is what I did because I wanted you to be a part of my family. This is what I did because I wanted you to be in heaven with me. This is what I did because I wanted to spend eternity with you." And Paul would ask this question in Romans chapter 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God is saying, look, you want to know that I love you? Here's the proof. I already gave you my very best. I gave you my son. Don't you know I'm going to take care of you? And that's why Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, "Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you." And you know, that word "cast" it's a demonstrative word. It's the idea of like, Lord, I'm throwing this on you. Like, Lord, I don't want this. I can't. I don't want to. I'm tired of carrying this. Lord, I'm throwing this on you. Years ago, I was asked to do a memorial service, a funeral for somebody who had been in the military who had died. And it was down in the military cemetery on the base there in Coronado in San Diego. And it was without traffic, it's about 45 minutes from where I live. But with traffic, it could be an hour and a half. And you know, when you're doing a funeral service for someone in the military, I mean, you never want to be late to any memorial service if you're a pastor, but you definitely don't want to be late to one of somebody in the military because, you know, people in the military, they deserve our greatest honor. That's one reason. The other reason is because they have guns. So, you know, you don't want to be late. And so I'm on the freeway and it's bumper to bumper traffic. And I'm just thinking, like, I'm going to be late. This is going to be horrible, you know. And I'm praying. I'm like, Lord. And I get in the fast lane of they're on the freeway. And the traffic is just going, stopping and starting and stopping and starting. And I got behind this car that had all of these Christian bumper stickers on it. And we don't really do bumper stickers in America much anymore. But this car was like covered with all of these Christian bumper stickers. So I'm like, okay, this guy is either radical for Jesus or a little nuts. But I get behind him, and every time that the traffic would stop, I would watch him. I could see, you know, through the window of the back of his car. I would watch him go like this. And the traffic would start moving again. And then it would stop, and he'd go, and it would start moving again. So I started doing it too. Yeah. We're both like, and I got there on time. But really, that's the idea. Lord, take this. Lord, I'm giving this to you. I can't, I don't want to carry this anymore. But here's the thing. Listen. When you give him those cares, when you lay down that backpack of your burdens at his feet, you got to leave it there. You know, oftentimes we pray, we pour it out like, Lord, here we go. And I do this, and I pick it right back up, put it on, and I start walking out. He's going, Rob, I want to work. I want to help, but you got to leave it here. You got to leave it at my feet. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And then he says this, here's the next line, and lean not to your own understanding. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, trust me even when you don't know what I'm doing. Even when it doesn't make any sense to you. Trust me even when you can't see the whole plan. Trust me. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust me that I have your best interests at heart. God wants us to trust Him and just enjoy the journey. Now, I want to give you an example of trusting in God with all of your heart and not leaning to your own understanding, or an example, excuse me, of trust where you're not leaning to your own understanding. And I think this happens if you've ever had an elective surgery, really any surgery. You know, you're trusting in a doctor that he understands what he's going to do to you, even though you don't. But in an elective surgery, I've had 3 hip surgeries, 2 hip replacements, and it's interesting, whenever you have an elective surgery, they always ask you this question. They say, we need you to sign this waiver right now. And this rarely happens, but we just need you to know that you could die from this. So we need you to sign that you're okay with this. And I'm always like, define rarely, you know? But on my last surgery, for my last hip replacement leading up to it, my wife and I, we had been watching on TV some hospital shows. And they were like these fictional shows. But there would be these crazy surgeries going on. And my beloved bride would say to me, babe, look at that. That's what they're going to be doing to you. Like, look how big that drill is, you know? Look how hard he's banging that hammer. And I remember thinking, like, I don't know if I should be watching this right now. My wife loves to watch Hallmark movies, and I'm not a big fan. I watch them with her because I love her. But, you know, in a Hallmark movie, like, nothing blows up. No one dies. I mean, it's always a happy ending. But I was literally like, maybe we should watch a Hallmark movie, you know? But think about that surgery. A surgery like that. You're saying, Doc, I'm lying down on this table trusting you with all of my heart. That you know what you're doing. Now, some people, maybe you're like this, I'm not, but some people, they like to go on YouTube and they like to watch the full video of the surgery that they're going to have. Like, they want to try to understand it. That's not me. I'm like, just knock me out and wake me up when it's over, when I'm fixed. But I will say this. When I was having my last surgery, I vetted my doctor. I asked him, I said, how many of these have you done? And he's like, thousands. I said, oh, that's great. Anybody ever die? Nope. Did they all turn out okay? Yep. And I'm like, okay, you can be my surgeon. Now, if he would have said, this is actually my first one, and I'm so excited, I would have been like, hey, I know somebody has to be your first, but it's not going to be me. I'm sorry. I want a different doctor. I want to. We have a God who has a proven track record of His faithfulness in our lives. But maybe you're here today and you haven't been walking with the Lord that long. Well, you have people around you here who have testimony of God's proven track record in their lives. And you have all the pages of the scriptures of men and women of God's proven track record in their lives. So even when we don't understand what is happening or what He's doing, we can trust and we can rest in His care and we can rest in His love and in His ability, believing that He has our best interests at heart because He has a proven track record. Now, I got to tell you, I don't always get this right. There have been plenty of times in my life where I didn't trust the Lord with all of my heart, where I didn't lean on my own understanding, where I actually worried and fretted all the way through something. And you know what? That is a lousy way to live. It's exhausting. It's frustrating. It's the opposite of being on an adventure with Jesus. You know, Paul the Apostle wrote this in Philippians chapter 4. Don't worry about anything. You know, that's the hardest command in the Bible. Don't worry about anything. It's, you know, the hardest commandment isn't the one that says, don't murder. I think most of us don't have an issue with that. Or, you know, don't cheat or don't commit adultery or don't steal. Those aren't the hardest commandments. No, this is the hardest command in the Bible. Don't worry about anything. We break that one so often, don't we? Some of us every single day. But worrying, to worry is assuming responsibility in your life that God never meant for you to have. And worry is the opposite of trust. So God says, don't worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. You see, He gives us an alternative. God says this, you can pray or you can panic. That's your choice. You can worship or you can worry. It's your choice. You can have faith or you can have fear. It's your choice. God's not going to force you to pray or to worship or to have faith, but His promise to you when you choose to pray instead of panic and worship instead of worry and have faith instead of fear, His promise is this. This is the second part of Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I love that what Paul says there. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding. We crave peace that comes with understanding. If I can understand what's happening, if I can understand what's going on, I will be at peace. And God says, no, no, no. I want to give you a peace that surpasses understanding, and it's going to set a guard over your heart. But that only happens, friends. That only happens when we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. It only happens when we choose to pray instead of panic and worship instead of worry and have faith instead of fear. And this is what I've learned. I'm sure you're learning. That's an ongoing exercise. Because, you know, I can pray and worship in the morning and put my faith in the Lord and head off into my day, and suddenly my day gets crazy and by noon I'm panicking again. And so then I have to step back and I got to pray and worship and trust and have faith, and I'm doing good, and then suddenly by 4 o'clock something goes on and I'm panicking again. It's an ongoing exercise. So this posture of faith is to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And then he adds this phrase, in all your ways acknowledge him. And this is the part of this proverb that I think is the most often misunderstood. This is the part that I really want you to catch today. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You see, when we think of the word acknowledge, we often think of we're letting somebody in on our plans. We're giving them an FYI for your information. We're acknowledging, you know, we're saying, you know, I'm acknowledging, hey, babe, to my wife, I'm going to be home late today from work. I have an extra meeting, FYI, I might send her a text, FYI, hey, I'm going to be late today. And oftentimes, that's what we think of when we think of this word, acknowledge. Hey, Lord, FYI, I'm planning a new business venture, will you bless it? Or Lord, hey Lord, FYI, I'm going to ask my girl to marry me. Will you help her to say yes? Or Lord, FYI, we're planning this ministry trip. Lord, will you go before us and bless us? And that's often the way that we approach this idea of in all your ways acknowledge him. But that's not what this word means. The word acknowledge in the Hebrew is the word yadeh. And it's a word that means, listen, to know, to perceive, to see, to find out, and discern. So we could translate this way, in all your ways seek to know, to perceive, to see, and find out and discern the Lord's heart on a matter. So that to me sheds a whole new light on this part of this verse. That I'm not simply letting the Lord in on my plans, but I'm seeking to know his heart concerning my plans. I'm seeking to know his heart concerning a situation. So I'm going to search the scriptures and see, where did Jesus deal with a situation like this? That's what it means to acknowledge. Lord, I want to know, I want to perceive, I want to see, I want to discern what's your heart in this matter. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I need to quiet my heart from all the noise going around and all the noise in my life so that I can hear your voice, so I can discern what your spirit is saying. What you are seeking to do in my heart and in my life. Remember Elijah when he was fleeing from Jezebel? And he ends up, you know, in the mountains and he's there kind of hidden in a cave. And it says that there was a mighty rushing wind, but God wasn't in the wind. And then there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in any of those things. But then it says, the Lord came and spoke to him in a still small voice. I think so often we get wrapped up in, you know, the earthquakes, the shakings that are going on in our lives. And we're like, oh, what is God doing? You know, or the fire, things are getting heated up. And we're like, well, what's happening? And the Lord, he's not in any of that. That's just life. That's just stuff that happens. But he's seeking to speak to us in that still small voice. So I ask you this question. I want you to imagine how our lives would change if we heart concerning this situation I find myself in. Lord, I want to know your heart concerning how I'm going to use my money and my resources. Lord, I want to know your heart and your will as it relates to how I use my time. Lord, concerning this situation in my family, I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I don't want to be ruled by my emotions. I want to know your heart. I want to have your mind. Lord, you find yourself in a conflict with someone. Lord, I want to know your heart and your will. Man, my flesh, my emotions want to respond in this way. But Lord, what's your heart? What are you seeing? What's going on in that person's life that I'm not seeing, but you're seeing? And this is the reason why they're responding in that way. When I consider what's going on in the culture around me, and you know, you're listening to the news and all the different things, and you can start to get worked up. Lord, what's your heart? How are you seeing what's going on in our community or in our country? Lord, I want to discern your heart and your mind in this. I don't want to just go by popular opinion. I don't want to be swayed by what everybody else is saying and doing. Lord, I want to discern your heart. I want to discern your will. That's what it means to acknowledge him in all of your ways. It is understanding, listen, that you have been saved to live in a relationship with the living God, and that relationship is supposed to permeate and affect every aspect of your life. It's going to affect how you think. It's going to affect how you relate to people. It's going to affect the things that you make your priorities. That's what it means to acknowledge Him in all of your ways. And you know what? Again, that's the mark of a disciple. That's the mark of a disciple saying, Lord, I want to follow You completely in all things. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And then here's the promise that He gives. And He shall make your paths straight. The CSVB version puts it this way. And He will direct your paths. Do you know the Lord is, He's even better than GPS. We're staying about 5 minutes from here. I've been here 3 or 4 times now. So I know where the church is. But I got a little turned around when I started to come here this morning. Doug sent me the address, so I punched it in to my phone. But I was one word off, a big one, Maunganui Road. It was some other Maunga something road. And so we were now end up going east, you know. We're not, I know where the mount is. It's like, just go toward the mount, you know. And I'm calling Doug, I'm so sorry, I'm running late. Now, obviously, that was my fault. But my GPS is trying to direct me. The Lord is such a better director. And He wants us to trust Him. He will make your paths straight. So as we close this morning, are you in a storm today? Are you going through some trials today? Cast all your cares upon Him, knowing that He cares for you. Lay it down. Put it at His feet. We're going to take communion in a minute. Lay it at the cross, which is the symbol today of His love for us. Say, Lord, I know You love me so much. I'm laying this down and I want to leave it here. I'm casting it upon You. You in a tough situation today? Cast your care upon Him. Maybe you're here today and this resonated with you. Every disciple is a believer, but not every believer is a disciple. And maybe you're like, you know what? I'm a believer, but I don't think I'm a disciple. I'm not really trusting God with every aspect and area of my life. I'm still way in control of so much of it. Maybe today you want to take that step from being just a believer to being a disciple. And you trusting and just saying, Lord, I want to begin to walk in this way and allow You to lead me. I want to be just face down before You today of saying, Lord, I'm giving You all of my heart. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much for this incredible promise that You have given to us here in Proverbs chapter 3. I thank You, Lord, for this beautiful picture of this posture of faith that You want us to have. And Lord, I pray today that we would walk in that. Lord, I pray today for those who are in our midst and are in the midst of a storm or a difficulty, and You're calling them to cast those cares upon You and to leave it there. I pray, Lord, that they would do that right now. and they would continue to do that, that they would continue to walk in that. I want to pray instead of panic. I want to worship instead of worry. I want to have faith instead of fear. And because, Lord, we recognize that you are this great and awesome God who's invited us to live in this relationship with you. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here in this room who does not have that relationship with you, that they would open up their hearts to you right now. And if you're here in this room, in this place today, and you have never put your faith in Jesus, you've never, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you confess that he died on the cross to pay the price from your sins and rose again 3 days later to give you life, if you confess that, you will be saved. And I want to just encourage you, if that's you today, to just say, Lord, I'm confessing I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I'm confessing that I need you and I want you to come into my heart and come into my life. And Jesus is going to meet you right now if you do that. You can just do that right now in this moment. But Lord, I pray for this church that it would stand out in this community as a group of people who are living and walking and experiencing the life of God on a regular basis. Lord, I pray that people in their lives and their sphere of influence would see this love flowing out from them, a love that they have for you and for one another and the lost in this community. Lord, I thank you that you are a great and awesome God. And you are so trustworthy because you have a proven track record. So Lord, help us to develop this posture of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So great to be with you guys this morning. We're going to worship, and as you feel led, you can partake of communion.